All right. Okay, I am guessing everybody should be able to see this now. All right. So hi everyone. This is Aparna and I work in the Windows App Consult team from India. And this particular topic is especially I'm very eager to present this as I work in one of the crux or the core team in the Project Centennial. So during the course of this session, I will walk you through what exactly a desktop app bridge or Project Centennial is all about, how you can utilize this to get your classic Windows desktop apps on Windows Store, and how you can available the thousands of other benefits which are made use for this particular bridge, right? So even before we dive into the desktop bridge conversation, let me give you a brief of what a universal Windows platform is. I hope most of you or many of you would have heard that starting Windows 10, the crux of the operating system was made universal, and you know, the same app or the same a project would run across various devices, be it a Windows phone or a PC or Xbox or even IoT devices, and IoT devices like HoloLens and including the Surface Hub. So the same project which you have, an app which would run on any Windows 10 device would run across all of these devices. So let's move on. So there are various ways through which you can build applications for UWP, or how you can move your applications to UWP. One is, of course, starting from scratch, wherein you have a new project, a new idea, and you build a universal Windows platform from it. There are the APIs, universal Windows platform APIs, which are available. Making use of which you can project or you can start your project and go forward. For starting from scratch, you would use, you know, either C Sharp or XAML based applications, C++ applications. You can use cross-platform tools like Cordova, Xamarin, or even you can use the native HTML JavaScript, which is available for you to build UWP apps. Then, you know, if you already have a Xamarin-based project, which is nothing but a cross-platform tool available, and you have already Android and iOS project, you can recompile the same Xamarin project if it is possible, and you can get the binaries for a UWP app. Recoding, it is more like you already have an app, say in a Windows form or a Win32 app, and what you do is you recode. Basically, you start again from scratch using the UWP template, and you port your app manually from, you know, the older versions of Windows to the latest version, which is the Windows 10, and this is how you can move your app. And finally, the interesting things through which you can move to UWP would be conversion. There are different methods or different bridges which are available. Say if you have a iOS app already on store, there is an iOS bridge which is available for you to move from iOS to Windows. Right? And there is also a Silverlight bridge. So all the Microsoft lovers who have their Silverlight apps built and they are actually running it on the phone previously, and if they want to move to a UWP, to the UWP platform, we have the Silverlight bridge through which you can convert your apps to Windows 10. There is hosted web apps, wherein, you know, you can convert a website into an app very easily using the hosted web app bridge. And the main thing which we are talking today is regarding the desktop bridge, which we will dive into shortly. So if you just check all the different bridges which are available, so just to reiterate a couple of things, One would be, where the Silverlight Bridge, where you can bring your Windows Phone 7 or 7 versions of Windows 7 versions of Silverlight code to the Windows 10 platform using the mobilize.net bridge, which is available. Then, of course, there is the desktop bridge, which we will dive into. Then there is the iOS bridge, wherein you can get your iOS app to and make it a universal Windows platform app. And not only that, you will even after bringing to an bringing an iOS app to a UWP app, you will be able to add certain features to it, UWP specific features. Say you want to integrate Cortana support into the iOS app which is migrated. You can go ahead and do that. Live tile support. All these APIs are available for you to make use of. Then comes the hosted web apps, where you can convert a website into a web app pretty easily. Let's see, maybe in the future we will also be able to get in some other platform apps on Windows. So this again would be a repetition of what I have been telling in the previous slides, just to make all of you aware about the universal Windows platform and its core benefits. And the unique thing is that you have one single app which would run across any device which runs Windows 10, starting from a phone to a HoloLens and a PC, laptop, tablet, any device which on Windows 10 would run your UWP app. So yeah, without dragging it much further, let's proceed to today's topic, which is the desktop bridge, which was codenamed as Project Centennial. So what is desktop bridge, right? What is you would have heard this term, desktop app converter, desktop bridge, desktop app extensions, and Project Centennial. So to give a brief summary or to give a gist, it is nothing but it is a bridge which would enable you to convert any of your classic desktop applications, be it a Win32 app or a Windows Phone app or a WPF app or even a game, to a Windows platform, a universal Windows platform, which is the Windows 10. So you can have this, you can use this particular bridge to convert either your app or even your games. So once the application is converted into a UWP app, you can further utilize this UWP specific APIs to enhance your application further, right? So after conversion, your classic desktop app is packaged, it is serviced, and then it is deployed in the form of a UWP app package, which is nothing but an Apex or an Apex bundle, which would target the Windows 10 platform. So mainly during the desktop bridge, there are two main steps, right? So the first would be the desktop app converter, which would take in your existing binaries and it would replace them as a UWP package. So you can create, you can create the package manually. I will be showing you some of the examples in the coming demos, where you have your Win32 app or a Windows Phone app, and how you can convert it into a Apex package. The second part would be the extension. So the second part would be, once after conversion, how can you extend your app? Like if you have a Windows Phone, Windows Form app or a Win32 app, how can you add features like Live Tiles or Cortana support into this particular classic desktop app, and then, make it as an Apex and publish it to the store? Right. So mainly desktop bridge would help you guys to move from the legacy old desktop apps to UWP. And let's see all the various other options which are available when you move from a old classic app to a UWP app. So let's get started on what the classic Windows app comprises of and its challenges, and let's see how even the concept of desktop bridge came into picture. So when I say a classic Windows app, it can either be a Win32 app or a .NET based app, COM, drivers, XAML, or Windows Forms, right? So these all comprise, or this all would come under a classic Windows app. And along with this comes the challenges, like there would be installation challenges wherein you need some of the dependencies before you install your app. That dependencies might not be compatible to your operating system version. Think about a scenario when you want to uninstall the app. It might leave in a lot of zombie registry keys, and it would probably mess up with the system. Pushing updates would be a major challenge here because the user has to go ahead and download each new version of your app and then install it, and various other challenges might come into picture, right? So, and yeah, of course, it would be expensive to maintain as an admin or admin of the entire system, or an enterprise system has to take care of installation, uninstallation, and updation. So keeping all this in mind, what we have come up is a way to, you know, reduce this and make the installation procedures easier, as well as utilize the core UWP features in your classic desktop apps. And when you see all of these classic Windows apps, you would package it in either into an MSI or an executables file almost all of the times, right? So it would be .msi format files or .exe format files. And this is what we would be using when you want to convert it into a UWP app. So to give a simple workflow, what we do is, first we have either the MSI or the exe files, right? So it starts with the running of the desktop app converter. So this tool takes existing desktop installers like the MSI or exe or anything else, and captures all the changes that the installer makes to the system. So under the hood, it would be like using an app container, using the container's features in Windows to boot a clean image of Windows and capture the changes inside that container. So this can only be used, and one of the challenges is this particular container feature can only be used either on a pro or an enterprise machine of Windows 10. So after conversion of the Apex, once the Apex package is created, which uses the Universal Windows packaging model, so this Apex would, you know, utilize installation, uninstallation, and updation, which follows the Windows packaging model, Windows 10 packaging model. So with this app package, you can iterate on testing the app, making changes where desired, and then further enhancing along with the UWP APIs and other features. And finally, when the app is created, you can distribute this Apex package either through MDM, or you can sideload the app, or you can put it on Windows Store so that anyone who uses a Windows 10 machine and who would go to the Windows Store would be able to download your app. So a couple of things which would come into the mind, which would say the core benefit of using this desktop bridge would be, you know, installation procedure and deployment procedure for these apps is very straightforward. Once you go to the Windows Store, you will be able to download the app and install it on any device, right? So right now the current code would run unchanged as a desktop process using UWP extensions wherever it is needed, right? And you don't really have to go through the DLL hell or is the DLL matching or different versions of the DLL is matching or not, and your app might stop running because of mismatch or even the registry bloat issue wherein zombie registry keys are there and unwanted things get accumulated over a period of time when you install many Windows Classic apps. And silent updates are possible using the UWP platform. A couple of main features or why you would use Desktop Bridge would be, you can enhance the app with features, which we will be talking and which I'll show you the demo about. And finally, you can, move to the UWP. It wouldn't be just a converted app, but it would actually be a 100% UWP app probably in the future. As in when you get sufficient time and resources, you could probably move to a UWP app in total. Right. So, and that you can do with your own pace. So there is no time limit, or there is no. You can take all your time and gradually move to a UWP app. And of course, the one major point, or one very good feature, would be the monetization and the way you distribute it. You can have your in-app purchases for your app, and you can sell it through store. You can release a trial version. You can release a paid version, and the monetization feature would be a great selling point. As your app would be on store, it would be available to millions of users, billions of users who would run a Windows 10 machine. Just to recap on a couple of things, so the major advantages would be you can reach any device type which runs Windows 10. Right now, the desktop bridge converted apps would run on a desktop PC, but moving along or gradually, you can run it on either Windows Phone or a IoT device or a Xbox and any device which runs Windows 10. When you add features like Cortana or Lifetile or background process, it would leverage any of the UWP specific features, which a couple of demos is what we will be seeing today. In general, you can also improve the life cycle management, which is nothing but the installation, uninstallation, and updation of your Windows app. It provides clean and guaranteed uninstallation method, which is a huge benefit. Then comes, easy way to monetize your app. Your in-app purchases, advertising can be utilized inside your app. Apex is now a self-executable installer, so you can distribute it in any way, either through store, MDM, or even a USB drive, or you can send it via email, and the users can install the apps on their devices. So one-click installation of the apps is possible. Now, let's see what are the prerequisites, prerequisites to convert an MSI into an Apex package. Firstly, this particular desktop bridge installer would run on a machine which has a Windows 10 anniversary update. So it would be 10.0.14393, to be precise. So on these build versions, there is a feature called as the containers, which is available, and you will have to enable this particular feature to install the desktop bridge installer. And the machine requirements would be it should be a 64-bit processor, and it should have the Hyper-V or the hardware assisted virtualization enabled, and it should follow the second level address translation, which is the SLAT address translation. This should be available. So enabling of this containers can be either done through the Windows features, or in the next slide you will see the command which is required to enable this particular feature. Some of the additional components which might be required is the Windows, which is required is the Windows 10 SDK. So you will have to install this on your development or the machine on which you want to try conversion. So Windows 10 SDK has to be installed. And the installer of the desktop app converter comes as a Vim base image. And you need to have PowerShell enabled or PowerShell installed on your machine where you are trying the conversion. And if you see the slide, you will see that there is a .vim base image and a zip folder. So base image, if you see the naming convention, it would be base image hyphen the version of your Windows 10 operating system. So that should match the base image number. So in case you guys are running a preview build of the Windows 10, so there are base images available for each and every preview build. So you need to match your preview build version number to the base image version number. And desktop app converter folder would contain all the required PowerShell scripts which are present so that you can install the desktop app converter on a machine. Let's see what changes happens or what command you would require when you want to install the desktop app converter. So the command is pretty straightforward. When you see, it uses a parameter called hyphen setup. So this setup parameter enables the containers features in your container feature in your desktop app. On your desktop. And you need to specify which base image you are using to install, and hyphen base image parameter would specify this particular Vim file. And you can enable logging to see in case there are any issues while installation, and you can use the hyphen verbose parameter. There are a couple of other parameters which you can use. You could probably look into the documentation to find out more regarding it. Let's go and see what changes the installer makes on a machine when the installation is done, right? So firstly, the Vim image would be extracted into this particular file path, which is under C, Program Data, Microsoft Windows, and Images. So once this image is extracted, this is nothing but the folder which would come from the .vim or Vim file. And during the installation, there will be a container network, which is the Windows Desktop App Container Network. This would be created. This is very similar, or you can say there are a lot of similarities between this container network and the and a virtual machine, right? So this particular Windows Desktop App Converter network can be seen under your virtual switch manager. A container runs an operating system. It has a file system and can be accessed over a network, just as if it was a physical or a virtual computer system, right? But having said that, the technology and the concepts behind the containers are very different from the actual virtual machines. You can't run the container or the container network which is set up like the way you run a virtual machine. But many of the properties might be similar. So don't get confused. You won't be able to see the UI of a container network of a Windows Desktop App Converter, right? Although you can see it under the virtual switch manager, you won't be able to access it. So this is the place where you would see Windows Desktop App Converter network setup. Then let's see how I've already spoken a bit about this. So mainly how you can distribute a desktop bridge is via the Windows Store. And then you can also use sideloading. Either you can send it as an email or a file network, file share, or you know, through a USB. You can install it how the way you want. So when you are installing this particular converted apps through the Windows Store, you need not sign it, right? The certification would be done via the Windows Store. But when you are trying to sideload the app, you would need a certificate, and you will have to sign your Apex packages. So you can even do the loose file registration, which is mainly used for debugging purposes, where the files are laid out on a disk in a location where you can easily access and update it. This might not need any signing or a certificate. And all you do is you deploy the app directly during development, and you run a PowerShell command to register the app so that the app gets registered on the machine directly. We will see a small demo on how we can do this. And if you want to update your app's executables or DLL files, you simply have to replace the existing files in your package with the new ones, then increase the version number in the app, apexmanifest.xml, and then run a command called as add apex package register. So by doing so, you will update the app. So let's see the certification process, right? So if you are sideloading the app, if you don't want to put your app via the Windows Store, you will have to sign it. So for that, we would need to create a certificate first, and then you need to sign the Apex using this particular certificate. And the commands for this are pretty much straightforward. The makecert.exe is available when you install Windows Kit or the Windows 10 SDK, and you need to give a publisher name, and you need to specify what kind of certificate you want, and you can create a private key and then your certificate. Once you have this created, you can copy your public and the private key information into the certificate using the PVK2PFX executable, which would copy your public and private key information into the certificate. And once you have created the certificate on the machine you want to install the app, you need to put it under the Trusted Root Certification Authority folder. Right, or you can install it by double-clicking the certificate and adding that to your trusted people or trusted root certification authority tab. So, when you do this, you will be able to run your or launch your Apex packages through the sideload process without any issues. Right. Okay. Now let's come to the main command, sample command, which would utilize the desktop app converter and convert your MSIs or EXEs into a Apex package. So mainly, remember you had downloaded two major files. One is the Vim, and other one would be the desktop app converter folder or the .zip file. When you extract it, you have all the PowerShell scripts to first install the app or install the Vim file, and then you can use the converted app, use the same PowerShell scripts to convert the app. So first you navigate to the desktop app converter folder, and then you run the desktop app converter PowerShell script. It takes in a parameter, which is the installer, where you give, here we have taken an example of the Orca, where you give the MSI of your project. One important thing is the MSI or the executable has to have a silence switch, right? If it doesn't support a silence which you will not be able to convert your MSI or executable into a APEX. This is mainly because when you are converting, all the conversion process happens inside the container. And since the container has no UI, if you don't have a silent switch, it will always expect a user interaction to happen. Think of the scenario where you need to click on next, right, in order to install an app. And who would click on the next if you don't even have an UI under the containers or under the desktop app container? So in order to avoid, in order for your applications to succeed in conversion, your MSI or executables must have a silent switch. So that is what slash Q stands for here. And Q would be the silent switch for this particular orca.msi. And then you need to specify a destination folder where your APEX gets created. We'll see what else gets created when you convert the app. You need to give a package name to the app, which would be which acts as the name and through which you can search on the machine. So you can also change the display name through the APEX manifest file. A publisher name is required, and then a version for your APEX is required. There is a verbose parameter which you can use to further troubleshoot if the conversion stops or how the conversion is going. You can get a detailed log using the verbose switch. So yeah, let's go to the demo. And in this, we will be seeing firstly how you can convert a MSI file and how. Oops. Okay. How you can the first major thing, how you can convert an MSI file, right? So the desktop app converter, this tool itself is available as an app on the Windows Store. This is nothing but a PowerShell command prompt which should be opened as a administrator on the machine. And this is it. So if you go to the Windows Store and search for desktop app converter, you should be able to get this app downloaded on the on your system. So I have my desktop app installed. And I have all the executables or the PowerShell scripts under this particular path, right? So let me navigate to this path. Okay, now I am under this particular folder. Let me go through to the folder and check out what is present inside the folder. Right now, just give me a minute. Yeah, so if you see, this is the place where I am. Here, there are all the PowerShell scripts which are available for you to convert your app. I guess there is a ping. I will be taking questions probably at the end of the webinar. So let me just proceed with my demo right now. Okay. So, and I have an app, which is nothing but the .NET Paint, the open source .NET Paint, which is available, and I have the MSI file for it. Let's see if we can convert this into a UWP app. So, all right. So, this is the command which I would be using, right? I have the desktop app converter executable or the PowerShell script placed under this particular folder. And I am using the installer, which is present in my... Oops. Just give me a minute. Okay. So, and I have the installer present under this particular path. I am specifying a destination path so that I can see my Apex getting generated. I'm giving a package name as my paint. I'm giving my a publisher ID, which is nothing but my alias right here, and a version for this particular Apex file. And then I'm specifying the command called as make Apex, which would create your Apex file. And then a verbose and the installer arguments hyphen s. So for an MSI file, you don't really have to specify the silent installer parameter. It would usually, in most of the cases, it would take it automatically. But it is always recommended to specify the silent installer or the installer arguments required for your silent switch. Along with the command, I will also use the hyphen sign parameter, which would sign the Apex package. It would do it automatically. You don't have to go via creation of the certificate and then linking that private and public private key information to the certificate and then signing it to your Apex package. You can do it directly via this particular command. So once this starts, it'll for a couple of things which it would check is, you know, if the Windows version is meeting the minimum requirements, if the containers have been enabled on this particular machine, then it'll check if a couple of other things, if the base image is present or not, and things of those sort. Then it'll start, setting up of the conversion environment. Right. So under this conversion environment, it will check if it has a silent switch or not. And then once it gathers all these details, it will start running the installer in this environment or in this isolated environment. And let's just give it a minute so that the conversion process is finished. Might take probably a while. So, okay, let's see what else is getting generated here. So right now we don't have any files. Just give it a minute. Okay, not to waste for the time on this, let me show you the converted app which I had used previously, right? This is what you get once the app is converted. You have your certificates present in the folder, you have your Apex generated, and then you have the package files. So these package files is where the actual work or the real work is done by the tool, right? So all your DLLs required to run the app, your executables, and rest of the resources would be present under the package files folder. So as you can see, this folder looks a bit like the one that you create using Visual Studio when you create a new UWP app, right? You have the assets folder, which contains the default images to be used for the tile, the store, or the icon in the start menu. You also have the manifest file, which is called as the Apex manifest, right? apexmanifest.xml. So if I open it in a text viewer, text editor, you will notice there are that the similarities of the manifest file to a UWP app manifest file, right? However, when you compare to a native UWP app, you'll find a couple of differences. You'll find one of the main capability which would allow you to run full trust capability. Let me just. Did I open the wrong file? Okay. Probably this particular app. It's here. So this run full trust capability is required when you convert your app into a Windows classic app into a UWP app, and if you want to publish this on store. So this run full trust gets added in your Apex manifest, and once this is added, you can run it as a UWP app, right? So in a typical native UWP app, you won't find this kind of access. So, you know, this is considered a restricted capability, and typically a native UWP app won't have this particular feature where you can enable it. So you'll find an application entry with all the information about the Win32 process that the UWP app container will launch. Also, additionally, you'll find other files and folders that captured the MSI setup process. Say, for example, the registry.dat file. It contains all the changes applied to the registry. Or if you explore the VFS folder, which is present, if you explore the VFS folder, you will find all the dependencies that are copied during the installation process, like the entry in the start menu and things of those sort. You can dig deeper into this, and you'll get to know various other things related to this, but I would say that the major crux or the major the real work is present under the package files folder. So let's see a simple Hello World console and how you can utilize this to have a UWP app. So this is a console app, and the end product of this would be I will be enabling a live tile for a console app, right? So let's see how this is done. So I build my console app, and then I take my executable file, which would be present here. Now I go back to the Centennial package folder, wherein all I have is my asset images, and then an app manifest, which would give details like the display name, the publisher, and from where the logo has to be taken, and the target version, and of course it should run the run full trust capability. It also has a couple of other details which is embedded under the application ID. So you remember when I told you can directly install the app even without you having to run the installer and things. So this is what we will be doing. For some reason it's still not working. That's fine. Let me just close that and yeah. So what I am doing right now is I have this executable file which is created using the console app, and let me install this as a UWP app. So what I do is I registered this app, Apex package. I add it as an Apex package and register through this app manifest, right? So let's go to the folder, right? This is where I have my Apex. Okay, and then let me add the Apex. Adding Apex and registering it. Yeah, so that I guess is done. So now let's see Hello World sample. This is registered. And let me pin it to the start menu. And let me run this app. And if you can see, it asks to enter some text on the lifetime. So let me show you. If anything is already present, you don't have anything for this particular tile set. So let me add something like Hello World. And let's see if you can see that as a live tile update. And there you go. You see a live tile update for a console app. So this is a beauty which comes when you have an app converted using the desktop app bridge. Right, so this is one of the other good things which you can see. Okay, so let's proceed further. Let me see if I have any other questions. Okay, let me go back to the slide and let's talk about the future enhancements on how you can shape this converted Apex package or how you can utilize the UWP APIs and features. So right now, what do we have? At this point, we know that a modern way of installation and deployment is possible. It is streamlined deployment, right? The apps and the games which using the bridge have a great deployment experience that ensures all the users that they can confidently and safely install and update their apps. For developers, in perspective of the developers, it reduces time authoring setup experiences and keeping users up to date. Automatic updates and licensing are possible. So your app can participate in the Windows Store's built-in licensing and automatic update facilities, which are highly reliable and it has efficient mechanisms. And this is mainly because only the changed parts of the files are downloaded, not the entire source or the entire code would be downloaded. But when you make an update, only those files which are changed would be downloaded, hence reducing the time, increasing the efficiency. There is like increased reach and simplified monetization. So as I was telling, when you choose to distribute through the Windows Store, it automatically gets you increased reach to millions of Windows 10 users who can acquire apps, games, and also in-app purchases with local payment options. So it is very easy to purchase an app or a game. And then comes the added UWP features like the tiles, which I showed you. Then the file types or the UI protocols and other extensions. And when you see at a larger broad case scenario, using the bridge, you can gradually move this code, which runs on a desktop, to any other Windows 10 device, including the phones, Xbox, and the HoloLens. Along with installation and all the added benefits, there are some concerns when it comes to conversion using your desktop bridge. There are certain limitations, like, you know, it can't be used on a .NET version which is earlier to 4.6.1, and things like you need an app which runs with elevated security privileges cannot be converted. So that is a block currently, so it can't run if it requires the elevated privileges. And in case your app requires a kernel mode driver or a Windows service, so that is not possible. So there are just for this particular issue or this particular block, when you say Windows service, and if your app is utilizing this particular process or this particular Windows service procedure, it's not like this is a limit here. So you can make your app run with this exactly same features using a UWP background task or a background process. So you will have to add a background task or a process inside your to your solution, and that is how you would probably convert a Windows service into a background task and make your app run the exact same way. So there are workarounds, or there are the different ways of doing the same things, but a couple of restrictions are still there. So you can't really modify the HKEY local machine registry hive. And if you're, as I was telling, you need to have a silent switch so that your app is so that your app can run. Right. And yeah, again, UI access, if that is getting registered, utilized, you won't be able to do that. All these are documented clearly under the desktop app bridge documentation. So you would probably want to see all the limitations before you start conversion or before you make the broader plan. A couple of things, like if your app is linking to a C runtime library, which is CRT, so that is that might be not supported if it is using a manner in which there are limitations, right? So if you are using or if your app is utilizing any C++ runtime libraries, you need to ensure it is linked in a supported manner. If it is not supported, you won't be able to convert it as well. What after this? So now, as you saw, we have Apex package, right? We have the Apex package created, and you were able to see a live tile for a console app. So what after this, right? And how can we extend it further? So by a quick demo, let's see how you can add features like background task and push notifications or toast notifications inside your app. Okay, so here is my Win32 app, a native Win32 C++ app, and how I can add a notification or a toast notification service using my UWP app, which has a better UI component. And so in this particular sample, the source code is available on GitHub, and you guys could probably go ahead and check it. So what this sample would do is, you will know how to create a package that includes both Win32 as well as a UWP processes. And the communication between them is via a app service APIs, right? It will also show you how you can launch a Win32 process from a UWP app, and this would utilize the full trust process extension. The Win32, as you can see, is written in a C++ language, and so let's see. Let me first build this, clean and build it. And once I build this Win32 C++ app, I have it in such a way that the executable would be a part of the UWP, right? So all my so if you can see here, the connection to start a background process or a Win32 runtime process is part of my Win32 app. and the calling of it via the UI or the beautiful XAML code which we use to enhance the user experience is via the UWP, right? So this example would show a linking between how you can utilize the classic old Win32 apps to a UWP app. So this is just not conversion. So this is bridging between the two major technologies, right, wherein you're utilizing, an old, legacy old app, and you're calling that legacy old app via the UWP app. So once I have that, let me run my UWP. And, okay, so this launch background process would launch my, the Win32. And it'll say, right now it's saying, you know, the connection is established between these two. A connection is successful. Now let's see how I can send a toast notification. Let me send hello MVPs, right? Sorry. Hello MVP. And let me send this. And I should be able to get a notification. Yeah, so you see here, you received this particular message as a toast notification. So you can also view it under the action center. So such unique features of the UWP can be utilized from your classic Windows apps. And further, like this is right now running on a desktop. You could further enhance it to run on a Xbox or a HoloLens or any other IoT-based devices. So let's go back to this. So major thing is, you know, first you convert your app. If you need just to convert your app, you can convert your legacy old apps into an Apex package and put it on store. If you want to proceed further, you can do so by enhancing at your own free time, right? You add, you utilize UWP APIs like the one I showed where you could have a lifestyle for your app. So you can enhance using the UWP features. You can also extend wherein you have, in your Win32 app, you can have a UWP app as a part of it, or add a background process and beautify your UI and things of those sort. And further, you can totally migrate your desktop app into a UWP app. Like it will be a pure UWP which utilizes all the UWP APIs which are available. And once you have a UWP app, it will run on any device which runs Windows 10. And just to give a brief summary of the entire webinar, this is how we started. So we started with a Windows Win32 or .NET code base. Then we saw how you can convert the MSI or an executable into an Apex and which would run on the machine. We saw that, you know, you could enhance with UWP features like the lifestyle support and the notification. You can also add Cortana support, which is one of the very cool APIs present for UWP. You can also add a UWP component, like the way we saw where we had a XAML UI front end, but it still interacted with app services, right? So you can add this particular feature. Well, slowly and finally, probably at a later point in time, you can migrate all your code to UWP, and which would run on any device which runs Windows 10. I guess I finished with that demo. And so continuing, what else can you add? The Windows Hello feature for authentication, you could probably add that. There are APIs for inking, Windows Pen and Ink. That is what you can use. All of this would have a single SDK, right? Windows 10 SDK is what you would be using to develop and further migrate your code to UWP. If you want to publish on store, you have one single store for any of the device. So one dev center, one publisher account, one store is very helpful. And you can always use Cortana to call your apps on a device. So these are a couple of things which you could probably utilize as part of UWP. So I have come to the end of the demo. And if you guys have any questions regarding this, you could always send us an email or you could ping me. One main thing is right now, if you want to submit your converted classic apps to the Windows Store, you will have to go via Microsoft, wherein we enable a run full trust permission for your developer or publisher account on the store. And once it is enabled, you will be able to publish your app. In order to request permission, in order to get this particular privilege of run full trust, you need to sign up or you need to send us a request. So you can find the sign up forms if you go to the desktop app bridge sign up form. So all you have to do is go to this particular URL, given the details of your company, or if you are a private developer, you, please go ahead and fill the details accordingly, and you submit a form. And I am happy to say that I am in the core team who would help you with this conversion. And it need not be just the if you have issues as well, if you have issues in conversion, you would please reach out to us. We will help you with the conversion process, and we can help you technically as well. So if you guys have anything, you could go ahead and or you could, if you are working with any clients, you could probably suggest the same thing to them. And there are a lot of documentations which are available. If you go to aka.ms desktop bridge, you will be able to get the entire A to Z details. And I hope many of you are aware after this webinar regarding the desktop bridge. And I hope to see many other classic Windows apps.